The current issue of Newsweek reports that several American colleges are studying ways to improve suicide prevention programs for students. Family members of people who try to commit suicide often can't understand why the relative took the desperate step. But some economists suggest that it may be time to reevaluate our assumptions about the rationality of suicide. Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca spoke with Charles Duhigg, who wrote about it for Slate.com. Duhigg began by talking about the novel approach some economists take to the issue.
Their approach originally started when a group of economists in the late 1960s figured that there must be some type of rational thinking that takes place with suicide. Being economists, they applied sort of the rules of supply and demand and were able to come up with a model that basically said, if you take all of the stream of happiness in a life, discount it by the cost of achieving that happiness, if what you get is less than zero, then suicide should become a viable option.
It sounds like a complicated way of saying life's not worth it.
It's a very complicated way of saying life is not worth it, and probably people are not surprised to see economists come up with a more complicated way of stating something that's probably a little bit obvious. But what's right. less obvious is what's happened in the last couple of years. Economists have picked up this question again. One at the University of Maryland, named Dave Marcotte in particular, began asking himself, what happens when people attempt suicide and don't succeed? There's this gray area, which may be negative. You have expensive injury and permanent disability, or possibly positive. You make a cry for help that elicits some attention. Under this model, suicide would become a rational decision if and only if your life gets better after you attempt suicide. So he began looking at that question for the 19 out of every 20 for whom suicide is not successful. And it turns out that for people who could seriously consider an attempt suicide, their income after the suicide attempt goes up significantly compared to peers who seriously considered attempting suicide but never made a try.
Before we get to the implications of the rise in income, there seems to be a serious weakness in what Professor Marcotte was saying. It seems to rest on the assumption that the person who is attempting suicide would be able to foresee that their life would get better in order to call suicide a rational choice.
Right. And it probably doesn't happen exactly like that, where they sit down and they maybe diagram things out and look at the supply and demand
probably
curves.
Not, yeah.
But what is more likely is that people, either consciously or subconsciously, understand some of the implications of attempting suicide. And we know from looking at peers that when you make some type of drastic attempt like this, usually things change in your life. Previously, whereas you couldn't get medical care, once you attempt suicide, it's forced on you.
So they're saying to themselves, well, if I just walk into a hospital and say I'm depressed, I might get shown the door. But if I try suicide, I'll probably get some treatment.
Exactly. Perhaps subconsciously. And in fact, things like, you know, familial love and attention, although not dollars and cents, is a scarce resource. And so it's therefore applicable to economic models. And in fact, studies have proven that all types of resources become cheaper after a suicide attempt. People who might otherwise ignore you for your complaints all of a sudden become very concerned when you actually take action on those complaints.
Charles Duhigg wrote The Economics of Suicide for Slate. Thanks very much.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
And that interview from Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca. For more information on the economics of suicide, check out Slate.com.